This is Logan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, we're discussing the CDC's announcement saying that reopening schools is critically important. That and more coming up.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to the one and only flag waving, God praising, trail blazing, heck raising radio show. It is both Jay Seculo Live and the Logan Seculo Reprogram. Will Haynes with me in the studio. We're taking over for this Friday. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. I'll be taking your phone calls later. But specifically, we are going to be talking about not only our school choice initiative, what's going on with that. There's obviously news coming out of that, but there's a lot going on in the world of school reopening. I know for a lot of parents, young parents like me, we are only weeks away from school supposedly supposed to be starting.
That's right.
Everyone's a little unsure. Everyone's a little unclear. And the CDC, though, who I think a lot of people trust, at least some people, I'm not going to say everybody, but people have...
They're an authority on health issues.
I'm not a big authoritarianism. But the CDC has said, hey, kind of gone against the norm. They've kind of put out statements saying, no, we think it's important for schools to open, something that the president and other people have been kind of pushing for the last few months, really, as we've been trying to figure out what the school season for 2020-2021 would look like. So they've said it's very important. And there's a whole highlighted document Will gave me of all the reasons why they think it's important to reopen schools, and specifically because of the impact on lower and middle income households, and also areas where there's not great internet service, where there's isn't the ability for parents to be home. It's a place where kids get fed. Maybe they're one healthy meal of the day, or maybe they're one meal of the day. So there's a lot of that in this document. We're going to break it down and go through it. Obviously, the number one reason they're suggesting it, though, and it's right off the top of the bat, is that the death rates amongst children is very, very, very low. Well below the flu, well below other things. Now, you could say, I don't know about the transmission rate. There's a lot of debate in that. But you understand for kids that really need that school for beyond just education, though we've seen education dropping pretty rapidly. I know they did a report, what, they said the math program, Will. They did an assessment in March when everyone started going online to the end of the school year or to now. And there's definitely been degeneration on that.
Right. So that is one of the biggest fears that the CDC balanced within their report when they were looking at how do we put these guidelines forward. We know that the states and the governors and the politicians and the school boards are all looking to us for some guidance. And they weighed the issues of children not getting the learning they need and how that's going to set them back throughout their entire life going forward, with the transmission rate, even the infection rate for the school age is much lower than other age brackets. Yeah. So they look at this and they took all of these into consideration, and they came out with a pretty strong statement in favor of reopening. And Robert Redfield, the director of the CDC, he actually said it's critically important for our public health for schools to open this fall.
Yeah, and there is statements here. They said so far in the pandemic, the death of children is less than the last five flu seasons. Again, there's been 64 kids, which, again, it should be zero. And I think people keep forgetting that this didn't have to happen. It should be zero. But unfortunately, it's at 64. That doesn't – I don't feel like – I understand that's a very low number, but I don't want to discount that. I feel like that's important to still put out there. That's still alarming. And then, obviously, the actual – if you break it down to percentage, it's a very, very low percentage. I think it should be up to the parent some ways. I think the parent should have that decision to make. I don't really think that the school should – I think the school can reopen, great. But I think if the parent decides they don't feel comfortable with it, hopefully the school can provide other options for it. I think this could revolutionize schooling in general, specifically for kids who need it, kids that need special schooling. This could change the way we look at it. We've always looked at it at a five-day-a-week, seven-hour-a-day deal. I think for a lot of people, that's very important. Like for my kids, it's very important. But for a lot, people need special circumstances. We're taking your calls. I want to hear your comments about schools reopening, our school choice initiative, and even the RNC getting canceled. We're going to talk about that. 1-800-684-3110. This is the Logan Seculo Reprogram.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to the Logan Secular Reprogram right here on JSecular Live for today. Well, I'm not used to such a, if you're listening to JSecular Live, I'm going to replace that on the reprogram feed.
That's right.
Because yeah. It's just too light. I can't get too excited enough. I can't get, I need more rock and roll, guys. Come on now.
You know, like the nice whimsical guitar solo.
No, I mean, I like a good Badfinger song every once in a while. But not to come back out of a break. I was just watching the video we were playing in the break. They were going through, make sure your kids know how to wash their hands properly, which I do think is important. And one of the things everyone's talking about, obviously, is masks. Now, schools have all sorts of different versions of what they're going to be doing. I think that's going to be a county-by-county, city-by-city discussion. I know for my kids, it's what they're telling us right now. It's like when the kids are in common areas and can't social distance, then they'll have masks, and they won't have masks if they're under the age of 5. But if they're under the age of, there is a lot of things. And John on Facebook asked a question that I think a lot of people have. And look, I can't tell you there's a straight answer for this. He said, how are we supposed to trust the CDC when they keep moving the goalposts? While I understand that concern, because look, this has been the case. We have seen masks, no masks, masks, no masks. We've seen Dr. Fauci out there.
2 weeks to flatten the curve. Then we got to wait till the
shelter
vaccine.
Shelter in place, stay at home, done in a couple weeks.
It does seem like, to some degree, there has been a lot of changing information as they learn more about the way the virus affects different populations, different cities versus
learning.
Rural counties. Right. And I feel like what the CDC is doing here is it's not a one size fits all.
It specifically
all
says this is just, these are essentially guidelines you can use.
And it is saying, which I think we've been talking about on JSecular Live and the reprogram very often, is how important it is for children to not miss out on these learning opportunities. That's why we talked about on JSecular Live yesterday, Tim Scott and Lamar Alexander, the senator from South Carolina and from Tennessee, that they have put toward this bill that's trying to help, I feel like, fill in the gaps. If a school district is going back and following the CDC guidelines, CDC also says if you're in a hot spot, maybe you shouldn't go back.
Yeah.
Where the Tim Scott legislation would fill that in is it would offer opportunities for parents to find ways to either beef up the education at home by getting some of that tax dollars back, different ways the counties can utilize money to try and fill in these holes where a community may not fit under the perfect guidelines, or if it's a city that's having a big spike in cases and they can't go back. I feel like that's where this this approach with CDC, with what the senators are doing, with what your states are going to be doing. And I know the president is calling for more money in another round of stimulus to get to the schools to try to fill in these holes where it may not be the perfect scenario of you can go back, just social distance.
Yeah, let's hear from Senator Lamar Alexander. Something I'm not sure I would ever say before. Let's hear Senator Lamar Alexander, bite eight.
Senator Scott's bill, which I support, also will create an ability for tax credits to exist so that individuals and corporations can contribute money that will increase the size of the scholarship. That's the School Choice Now program, a great proposal by Senator Tim Scott.
I think school choice means a lot of things to a lot of people. When we started our school choice initiative just about, maybe a month or two ago,
right,
when the initial launch was, it was a direct response to what was going on in the streets of America and saying, if you're going to be protesting, if you're going to be going out there and you're going to be part of this new wave of people who are against racial injustice, which I believe you should be one of those people who is against racial injustice, this is a way you could actually take care of people who are suffering and are in some of the lower income areas and could really use school choice and school choice initiative to not be based on your zip code, to not have your only school option based on where you live, to get you out of that option and to try be able to at least have a good shot. Now, what's interesting is in just the last month, because now, beyond that, every parent is now having to deal with this. Not parents in lower income, middle income, higher. This is parents across the board are having to deal with what they do, make this really hard decision. And I will say this, as a parent, it is a very, very hard decision to right now. I do not, I don't know if there's been a harder decision really as a parent, whether right now to send your kids back to school or to keep them at home, if you have that opportunity and that availability. Because look, I know that my kids, they thrive when they're in school. They need that in their life. But you also don't want to outweigh the risk of what's going on. I mean, we had our schools here will close for weeks on end because of the flu this year.
Right, right.
So what I don't want people to do is assume that we're pushing you to go back to school. If you don't feel comfortable, if you don't feel like it is, it's not about that. It's about you having the option to do it. And if your school decides not to go back and not to open, that you somehow can get your either financial, part of your tax money back, or you can get some supplies, or if you have to have an iPad, you can get something potentially out of this. It's not just straight up a loss for you, where you're going to have a kid sitting at home playing video games all day, which I think is a concern, look, for a lot of people. We've had a five-month summer now. I mean, it's time to figure this out.
And the CDC even points to that in their release that they see statistically and with data that summers, there is a regression in learning in children because they're not in school.
Yeah, I would assume in general, like right, not just because of this, in general.
So when you
kids chill,
make that into 5 months and increase that, it makes it a more difficult thing for the children to then re-engage in learning when they do go back to what would be something that's more normal. But Lori on Facebook, she says she disagrees with the CDC. She doesn't want her son going back to school next month because where she is, their numbers are now some of the highest in the country.
Yeah.
But I think that actually is what the CDC is saying.
Yeah,
if you're having that community where it is some of the highest in the country, those schools probably wouldn't go back because, like you were saying, even in our local area, if there's a flu outbreak that's higher than what it is in a normal time or in other areas, we've seen our schools in this area close down for several days sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes even a week to try and get that under control.
And it is difficult. Look, it's difficult if someone runs a business here when that happens because you have to then make all these weird decisions. You got to tell parents what they can do because no, people are not used to not being able to go into work.
That's right.
So that's a big concern. And when offices reopen and schools don't, and I think people do have that situation of, well, I could take my kid into Target, but I can't take him to school. That becomes a really big debate amongst people. I know we've talked a little bit about what's going on in Arizona. I think we're going to outline that more later. And where there does seem to be some tomfoolery going on, where people are going to be able to essentially go back to school, but have to pay to go back to school because they're not going to want to pay the teachers because the teachers' unions are screwing around with people. There's a lot of things that happen. It's not just a one-size-fits-all scenario. The CDC has outlined it. We do have a petition at the ACLJ. It is, if the pandemic closes schools, put kids first and give parents options. To me, that's all I want. As a parent, I just want the options. I don't care if you decide to go back or don't decide to go back. I'm not going to debate you for hours over that. What I will say is I would like you as a parent to have that option. to go back if you'd like, or to not go back if you'd like, or to get your tax money back if you decide that the schooling that they've presented is not up to par, which in a lot of places, it's simply just not going to be. Look, I mean, I've gotten things from our schools. It's so confusing. I understand. Look, I'm dealing with it firsthand. We're having to make these important and hard decisions. And we got a lot of calls coming in about it. But that doesn't stop the work at the ACLJ, where we do want to put the power back in the hands of the parent, not necessarily just the school or the teachers union or the CDC or the government. I feel like it's important. This is a freedom and a liberty to make these decisions yourself, decide where your taxpayer money goes and how you can also best utilize it. You as the parent should be making that decision. And that's just how I believe it. Leave that, honestly, in general for most things. You as the parent should be making that call. The government needs to not stick their necks into our business when it comes to that. And I believe that pretty much on most topics, as you'd expect. As you expect, I'm not a huge fan of the government controlling most of what's going on. So I'm glad to see the CDC saying, you know what? Maybe that there is a way back for kids. Now, if you say, I don't think my kid can learn well in a mask, I think that's your decision to make. If you say, I don't think my kid should be able to have to deal with this and I don't feel like they're comfortable, or heck, I feel like my kids should go back because they need it, because they need special learning instructions. There are so many kids, a large percentage of the kids that go to school also have special needs.
Right, individual education plans, yeah. IEPs. We heard about that a lot on the broadcast yesterday.
And without that, it becomes very difficult for parents. This is not as simple for a lot of parents as just, you know, turn on your Saxon math and figure it out from here.
I like that callback, Saxon math.
Yeah.
There's a homeschool reference in there. Sprinkle that in.
It's not that easy. It's not that easy for a lot of people. Like, right. I'm not a teacher. I've learned this very much as a dad to a soon-to-be 8-year-old and a dad to 4-year-old twins. It's not my greatest strength. I wasn't a great student, so why would I be a great teacher? Like, a lot of people have that problem. So I think, again, those decisions you need to make specifically by you as the parent, that's what we're doing here at the ACLJ. ACLJ.org, sign that petition, give you the choice. Don't put it in the arms of the government. You can make the decision for yourself as a parent, and I hope you do. That's at ACLJ.org. I did want to encourage you also, Will and I do a show every day, the Logan Seculo Reprogram. It's a little bit more hard-edged version kind of what we talk about. Jay Seculo Live, a little more comedic. We have great guests on. We have a lot of fun. You can find that on all your favorite podcast players, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can even watch the show every day on YouTube. That's at youtube.com/Logan Seculo Reprogram. Subscribe to my YouTube channel. Ring the bell so you get an alert every time that we put a new episode on, which is each and every day. We'll be right back with more on the Logan Seculo Reprogram. Jay Seculo Live, takeover.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Now that's more like it, Will.
A little bit more rock and roll.
A little more rock and roll for your morning.
Still the J.
For your
Seculo
evening,
band,
for your
though.
Afternoon. It is the J. Seculo Band. They play some good songs.
They do.
Yeah. I should join them.
I don't think you should, actually.
I've never been invited. You've played with them. I specifically get declined whenever I ask.
I
don't know
Tax
if you've heard
with them one time.
I have a good hardcore scream voice that they've never utilized.
Well, maybe you should offer a, you know,
I asked them
early
to do
2000s hardcore song.
I did.
Song,
I was like, I got this song by He Is Legend. And they were like, no, we're not playing that. We're not playing that. Hey, phone lines are open. 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. We do have some phone calls. I think we should get to them because we are going to move into another topic coming up in the next segment. We'll still take calls. If you have comments on this, we'll take them. But Planned Parenthood made some pretty interesting moves. And I think you could honestly kind of chalk it up to somewhat of a win. Though, maybe a little misleading, but it's interesting. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. But, Will, I think we should go to the phones. Some of these are related. Some of these are not. But I think we should go ahead and take them anyway.
Let's go.
We're not lawyers, but we'll give you our point of view.
Our opinions, yeah.
We're radio show hosts. You have a degree in finance, though.
Yeah, finance.
I have a degree in business, in the entertainment business.
Right.
Let's go to James.
James in Idaho on line 4. You're on J. Seculo Live in the reprogram.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Welcome.
Recently, I'm starting to hear more and more of larger companies not taking legal tender as persons are walking through the checkout line.
Yeah.
And this is a kind of a concern to me because we're devaluing our dollar and we're saying that any business can redefine what is or is not allowed as for products and services.
Yeah.
Is anybody even approaching this? I mean, this is kind of crazy that a large business that controls food, means of survival, can say, yeah, I'm not going to take your $20 bill. You have to pay with plastic.
Yeah, James, I feel for you right now because, I'm not sure about the legal ramifications of this, but it is a weird gray area. And what mainly the concern with me, James, is even the public perception of this, which is not unlike a lot of what's happened with this, which is the shelter in place, which needed to be changed to stay at home because shelter in place is what you call, what you say when there's like an active shooter. When you start not taking legal tender and then you go up to a Wendy's and they're like, hey, we're out of tomatoes. And then you go over here and there's a sign that says, well, we're out of coins. Please give us your coins. It is panic inducing.
Right.
And I think, James, to your point, the legal side of it, I don't really like that. Personally, I don't know, again, the legal ramifications of it. I don't like the idea that they can't accept cash as a form payment. I know this, that when all of this started happening, a lot of us, I'm not going to say me or Will, but, you know, people we know, maybe us, ran by our bank and was like, we probably should have some cash on hand.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Never know.
Just in case this is the end of the world, we should have some cash on hand. But then you're right, James. When you see, though, these stores not taking the legal tender, well, it's demoralizing.
Well, and it almost creates more fear in
right.
society, and that there's something amiss in the world, and there's already enough of that. But you see the World Health Organization and the CDC saying that the surfaces isn't as big of a transmitter.
Yeah, the first few months they were like, hey, don't touch anything.
But I think that you're really onto something when you look at that. I don't know that it's necessarily devaluing in the sense of the worth of the dollar,
right.
because that's more tied to the money supply and you can get in the economics of all that. But it does give you a sense of maybe psychologically it's devaluing the actual currency and moving into something where you have less control over your own assets, your own dollars. And that could be another fear for a lot of people that don't like institutions having as much control over what they have to spend, what they have to live their life, the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
Now, the mass majority of people, I think, in businesses are likely taking card as their method of payment.
Right.
So I don't think they made this decision because they thought it could hurt their business. I think they realized they didn't have to handle it. So again, if the surface were an issue, which again, remember just 2 or 3 months ago, people were wiping down all their boxes that came in the mail. A lot of that's changed because the CDC has started to say, hey, we don't think that's quite how it is. It's really the droplets.
I think that it also could be harmful for people that maybe have lost their jobs during this pandemic that are looking for things like odd jobs. Now, yes, it's easier with things like PayPal or Venmo or Apple Pay to get paid for services, but if there becomes this aversion to cash and people are needing to do odd jobs, handyman jobs, lawn care, things like that, that they're trying to scrape by because they lost their job and there's this aversion to using cash in the world, I think that could be a negative impact on people that, or even the tipping economy, when people that are finally getting back to work in restaurants, that they're not able to get that $20 bill someone laid down because they had it in their wallet and it's tied specifically to percentages. There's ramifications that could have a ripple effect that I think, to our caller's point, it is kind of concerning in that aspect.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to downplay his concern. I honestly don't know enough about the legal side of
sure.
it. But what I will say is I do think you're right. There is a sense of fear that comes with the fact that there's any kind of control over that. When you walk into a store and it says, this is mandated, this is not mandated. Now, do I think it's the store's decision to make that? The legal tender side, I'm definitely not so sure. If you want to say you have to go to Walmart, I got to wear a mask, whatever. I don't care if, you know, this is the government saying it. If Walmart, private business, if I here decided tomorrow, hey, everyone in the office has to wear a mask, you know what? As someone who runs this business, that's my decision to make. That's how I feel. If I said everyone's got to walk around in a clown makeup, you know what? If you come to work here, it's part of the rules, Will.
Yeah, but I don't know if I would want to work in that kind of environment.
I don't say people would. Look, you'd have to know that going in. I think you'd have to.
It's not a day two on the job. It's like, no, by the way, this is a clown office. We all wear clown makeup.
The first time you show up for the interview, I think you'll get the point when right. everyone is like a clown.
And you
like,
do is off-site this... interviews specifically to hide yeah. that fact from them. I think you're in a little bit of a gray area there legally, yeah. Logan.
Is this yeah. clown Mondays? We're like, no, it's clown every day. It's clown
you
every day.
We actually have non-clown Friday.
Yeah, we let people take a break. My makeup skills have gotten fantastic, though.
You do your own clown makeup.
Well, we're going to provide a makeup artist.
Well, I didn't know if like your wife helped you out with the clown makeup because she is actually very good at costuming
yeah,
and things like that.
Person.
Yeah.
So I think you can make that decision yourself.
How do you do your beard in clown makeup? That's my biggest question.
Yeah, I don't know. I usually don't do any of the white. I just do the detail work.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, all right, back that's to what we're talking yeah. about here on Shizakula Live. Oh, man, that went away, way away from what we were talking about. But I do think it's the decision as a business to make those things yourself. I'm not necessarily think the government should be involved in mandating it unless absolutely necessary. But if you want to make that decision, when it comes to cash and legal tender, again, I think that's a little bit of a concern for a lot of people. But we're seeing now, again, the change shortage.
Right.
I emptied my piggy bank.
My Did you kids go to Coinstar?
Not
Coinstar
yet.
Machines?
I thought about it.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, but what if I need these?
Yeah.
I don't know if I need to just put it back. It's very hard because you hear there's a coin shortage. There's a part of you goes, well, do I need to keep my coins?
Right.
Or do I need to put them
or
back into the system?
Or donate them in a sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. When we get back on JSecuLive/LoganSecular reprogram, we're going to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. If you lose us here, I know some of you guys just listened to the first half hour. Don't worry. Logan and Will, right here, both of us, we do the Logan Secular Reprogram each and every day, and I want to have you as one of our new listeners. Subscribe to us on Spotify, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, and specifically watch this show on YouTube each and every day. Subscribe, youtube.com/LoganSecularReprogram. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. Again, sign that petition to give you the choice of what to do with your kids this fall. That's at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
Welcome back. This is Logan Sekulow here on the Logan Sekulow Reprogram Takeover of Jay Sekulow Live for your Friday. We appreciate everyone who listens. And again, if you like this show, Will and I do this each and every day online. You can find us Spotify, subscribe, Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe. And probably the most fun way to watch is on YouTube, youtube.com/Logan Sekulow Reprogram. Join us there. I got hundreds of subscribers, Will, but I'd like that to be more.
That's
There's
right.
more people watching right now on Facebook than I have subscribers. So if you're watching right now, just do me a favor. Even if you don't watch, do me a favor. Go over to the YouTube channel, click subscribe, ring a bell.
Ring the bell.
It tells you that it notifies you when we put up a new show, which is every afternoon.
Whew. If you want to hear more about, you know, clown makeup at work or things like that, we talk like those type of things.
But we also talk about the topics that are important. We've had great guests on recently. We've had on Sean Hannity. We've had on John Rich. We've had on Bill Hagerty. Sounds like a lot of the guests you'll hear here on Jay Sekulow Live. A lot of times maybe they double dip. They stop in for a while.
Some crossover.
The set looks very similar. I wonder why. It is available again on all those platforms, and we appreciate it. Right now, though, what you could do also is go to one or give us a call. Pick up your phone. If you're watching me on phone, you're going to have to like write this down. I don't know how they do that. But the, you know, if you're watching on Facebook, you know, minimize me after I tell you the phone number. It's 1-800-684-3110. We're taking phone calls in this segment and following up to the rest of the next half hour, 1-800-684-3110. Should we take a phone call?
Yeah,
I did want to say one thing real quick, though,
okay. Because we had the caller that asked about the legal tender, and I looked at this up. This is on the Treasury's website, so treasury.gov, and it does say that
they checked their facts.
The legal tender phrasing that you see on dollar bills and things as such that say that they're legal tender for all debts, public and private, the Treasury says that means that United States money, as identified above, is valid and legal tender for payments of debts when tendered to a creditor. There is, however, no federal statute mandating that a private business, a person, or an organization must accept currency or coins as for payment of goods and services.
You know what?
So that's interesting.
That's fine. Yeah. You know what? I'm fine with that, Dan. I want the least amount of regulations as possible when it comes to how private businesses can work. So as much as I think they should be able to take your cash, especially if they are a company that has historically taken cash, at this point, you know, I think you should be able to do what you want as a business.
That's right.
That's not the specific. This point of view is not represented by the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. I don't know what everyone else thinks, but that's my personal point of view. Let's take this phone call real quick before we head into the next segment. This is from Marsha. It's calling, right?
Marsha in Mississippi on line two. Marsha, you're on the air.
Yes, thanks so much for taking my call. This is about as far as schooling, and I'm old, I'm a great grandma, but as far as schooling, I don't think it's just so much as far as just reading, writing, arithmetic, and just, you know, you can plug a kid into a computer and they can learn, but they're not learning how to be a human. They're not learning about human interaction and how to become, you know, their own self and socializing.
Well, yeah, Marcia,
absolutely,
that's a very valid point. I think for there are a lot of homeschoolers out there, Will.
Right.
So I don't want to devalue what they do. A lot of them are involved in groups or homeschool groups. They have other friends that are homeschoolers. They get together. But I understand that, Marcia. Look, that's part of the reason why as a parent, I'm debating this situation myself.
And the CDC says in their plan exactly what Marsha's talking about. The harms attributed to closed schools on the social, emotional, and behavioral health, economic well-being, and academic achievement of children, both in short and long term, are well-known and significant. So that's exactly what you're saying, Marsha.
And how often do we hear the phrase screen time? Get your kids off screen time. Your phone itself can lock itself out. But now we're going to say if your kids go virtual, in a lot of places, 7 hours in front of a screen every day. I don't know if that's good. Actually, I will say, I don't think that's good.
Right.
I want to know what you have to say. We got more coming up, Will. We're going to talk about what's happening in the world of Planned Parenthood. Pretty interesting development. We'll talk about that in the next segment. Again, phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110 and ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Now we're talking, Will. If you don't know, that's the theme song by Rudy Landa to the Logan Seculo reprogram. Kind of just want to let it play for a while. Shock the nation. Rock the nation. I love it. Thanks, Rudy, for that. You can find that, by the way, each and every day on the Logan Seculo reprogram. I'm going to keep telling you that. You know what? We need more people to listen. Will and I do have done like 200 episodes of the show.
Quite a bit of episodes.
I think we've done a show for every listener. It's available on Logan Seculo reprogram. On all social media, you can find me on Instagram. I post stuff there just at Logan Seculo. Facebook, I have my own page, Logan Seculo. There is a reprogram Facebook group, but I encourage you to join that if you're a listener. Because if you're not, I feel like you may not get what you're hoping for.
That's right. So we talk about a lot of the stuff that's topics we've discussed on
the
show.
And the show is
sometimes
wild.
It's like a funny video of like an alligator in a bathtub. Sometimes it's things like that. But
if you join that group and you think it's all going to be hot political talk, and then you all of a sudden your feed is getting destroyed with alligators and hot tubs and and mummies making funny noises.
Yeah.
There's going to be a reason, and it's because we talk about that kind of stuff, as well as the news of the day and what's happening, important things going on. We did a show just yesterday that we talked about a lot. We had, obviously, Bill Haggerty was on, just like he was on Jay Sekulow Live. We also talked about the Washington Redskins changing their name this year now to the Washington Football Team.
That's right.
So we had a lot of fun with that. We talked about a lot of topics that I feel like you guys would like to hear that maybe you don't get specifically from Jay Sekulow Live.
Yeah.
And again, we're both younger parents. We're dealing with what's going on in the school system. So we talk about that a lot. But it's a lot more fun. Not that the show isn't fun, but this show, the reprogram, is made to be fun. So find that again, youtube.com/Logan Seculo reprogram, or just search Logan Seculo, subscribe to my channel. Let's take, should we take a phone call, Will?
Sure, let's go for it.
Let's go to Linda. Linda, Indiana. Hey, Linda, before you go, I want to tell people, I want to hear other people's voices after you. 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are open right now. Go ahead, Linda.
Yes, I'm a senior citizen, and watching so much of what is going on in our country, it's like our rights are being taken away left and right, where I can't even say I don't want to wear a mask. I am healthy, even though I'm 73, and I don't know. Then when our governor's starting to say that you're going to even have to wear a mask outdoors if you're going to be too close to people, am I being unrealistic? Because, Logan, I have been through beaucoup flu epidemics and never has this stuff happened?
Look, I think, Linda, it's not something to laugh at or joke about when it comes to these mask mandates. Do I think that some of the counties and cities feel like they have to do it? I understand numbers are on the rise. I don't want to downplay the severity of what's going on. But historically, personally, I'm not necessarily forced. Mandates like this are not my deal. I don't like them. And I think you're right. It becomes a very slippery slope again, Will, it goes back to, like you said, when we first were told about this, it was flatten the curve. Stay at home.
And specifically, masks didn't do anything or didn't work.
Didn't work. And now things have flipped. Now they flipped back. We have in May, like, you think about this, in March, when all this started happening, we were told in May things would be back to normal.
But I think, to Linda's point, what we are seeing sometimes with, it's kind of the pros and cons of the way our system is set up in the United States. It is great that governors have a lot of flexibility and local leaders to meet the needs of their individual constituents and population. But when you look at things like this, sometimes the local leaders, out of maybe fear or political pushback or things, they can go too far, and that can be a problem. Like, she was referencing that in her state, there may be a push to wear the masks even outside. When the guidance is saying
that's true here.
That in specific counties they aren't. It's not
outside.
You are exempt if you're outside and socially distanced, because that's what the data from people like the CDC and the other health organizations are saying, that that's a safe environment to be in. You can go outside, you can go ride your bike, but if you're congregating in a big crowd together, like you see in the protest and things, that is potentially a hot zone, because you're all together, and they may not have the nuance to be able to be like, if you're at a park and away from people, you don't have to wear one, but if you're outside and you're in a protest, you may have to. So I think that that's what they're dealing with. There's a lot of situations going on where they're trying to figure out what's best for our constituencies and for our population and our citizens, but it doesn't always play out in a great way.
Yeah, and there's what we're so many with. Mixed signals, like you said. I know a lot of people have seen today, there's all these images of Dr. Fauci taking the mask off at the baseball game.
When he wasn't socially distanced from socially, two
but
people.
A lot of people. But he said, you know, he was taking a sip of water and they caught him at a moment.
I didn't see a glass of water there.
I didn't either. I'm just taking him somewhat at his word and saying that's what he said. Here's the thing. I wear a mask when I'm out. I'm not an anti-mask person. I have no problem with it. I'm someone that, if I go out in public, if I'm going to the store, as of right now, I'm with my parents a lot, who are, you know, of the more susceptible age. I'm going to take every precaution I can. I'm sanitizing. I'm wearing masks. I'm still being safe about it. I'm not being ignorant to it. But I also don't necessarily think that the government should be that much getting involved in it. But I'm happy to wear the mask myself. Now, if I'm outside, likely not. I'm talking about inside, and specifically around people or around things that could cause this, especially those places that aren't checking temperatures. And we're doing here. We do temperature checks. We do all these different things. There are a lot of places that aren't doing that. And again, like I said, for private businesses, if they want you to wear a mask, I don't really care.
And another thing, though, that Linda brought up that I think maybe is more concerning to me than the government saying, hey, you need to do this for a time or whatnot. It's the way that the population, especially the pro-mask population, isn't having dialogue.
Yeah.
It has become borderline propaganda, the way that they're going after people, that if you aren't wearing a mask, you're a bad person, or you are uninformed, or they go through this litany, and it's demonizing a person for that choice. Now, if there is, the government is saying you need to do this in this situation, then you should probably take that into consideration. But the way that you're turning on your fellow citizens and making them an enemy, I think, is dangerous. And a lot of that is happening in some of the big cities,
sure,
as we're seeing.
Well, I want to move on from these topics. I want to talk about something that I think our audience will be interested in. We've always pulled the no punches when it comes to the hypocrisy of Planned Parenthood.
Right.
The biggest abortion provider in the world. You may know them because their founder, Margaret Sanger, was a known racist eugenist who was trying to engineer a master race of white people.
This is documented.
Indisputable fact.
Right.
So for decades, we've been talking about this. Planned Parenthood has the Margaret Sanger Awards. They have all these things. They still celebrate this person who we all know historically, and look, in a strange time where things in history are being removed, you're getting George Washington removed, you're getting Hamilton canceled, you're getting all this stuff happening. Margaret Sanger seemed to be the one person who the liberal left didn't have a problem with,
right,
being a hardcore militant Ku Klux Klan speaking rally person.
Right.
But you know what? Kind of a weird small win.
Yeah, I think it's a caveat win here. The Planned Parenthood of Greater New York. So
just that.
They
just
have a federation, if you, their business structure. There's a lot of
different.
There's
a bunch of Planned Parenthoods.
Right.
They're all separate entities. They're franchises of abortion mills.
Right. And so this one franchise, to use your language there, they are removing the name of Margaret Sanger from their Manhattan Health Clinic, and they're also trying to get you know how streets will have like an honorary name? There's a Margaret Sanger street sign on Bleecker Street in New York. They're trying to work to get that removed because they're saying they need it removed because of her harmful connections to the eugenics movement. Now, they, for a long time, as you've said, have defended that even though she was tied to it, everybody kind of was into that at the time. And
look, she's been dead since 1966. Right. And that's not that long ago. Okay?
No.
No. It's not like she was a historical figure from 300 years ago or from the 1700s. I'm not saying you give a pass to, but you at least go, it really was a different time. Slavery was legal. There was a lot of things going on in the situation. Was it horrible? Absolutely. But this was a modern-ish
person. This is a modern era. This is not
okay. She died after the Beatles had invaded America. You know, that's a long time. That's not that long ago. But then, this is so controversial, Will, that Snopes, the liberal-leaning Snopes, you always go to check your facts.
Right.
They had to put up the article to be like, yeah, it's true. They're taking it down. They're taking it down. And a person brought up a good point, which is, look, do I think this is a step in the right direction? Maybe weirdly. I want to know your point of view. 1-800-684-3110. Because if you see the racist roots of the abortion industry,
where they were putting the clinics, why they were putting clinics there,
they're still there to this day. It's hard to deny. You can't deny that part. You can't deny it. It's historical fact, people, that this was specifically an industry built on trying to destroy minorities and people with special needs.
Yes, 100%.
So guess what? They took the name down, but someone brought up, is it not like if you just took the name down of Hitler off of a concentration camp? Would that really make what's going on inside really much better? You take a small win here, but I want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110 as we come to the last segment of the reprogram Jay Sekulow Live Takeover. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to the final segment of Jay Sekulow Live's Logan Sekulow Reprogram Friday Takeover Show. We appreciate everyone who is watching on Facebook and listening on the radio or watching on ACLJ.org. I want to encourage you first to all of you, go to ACLJ.org, sign that petition, support the work of the ACLJ. It's very important. This is not just us here in a little studio doing all this. You have no idea the impact we're making. And if you don't know much about the organization, I think you should go to ACLJ.org, spend some time on there. Don't just go sign a petition and go out. We appreciate that. Definitely do that. But don't leave. Go read some blogs, read some articles, get informed, share it with your friends. The ACLJ is doing incredible work, not just even in America, but around the world and stuff. Some stuff you may never, ever hear about because we work all around the world in places where these opinions not only are not popular, but not necessarily tolerated. So that's at ACLJ.org. Support the work, what we're going. I'm going to take some phone calls here, Will. But before I do think we would be remiss to not talk about the RNC, the Republican National Convention.
President Trump announced last night that they were going to cancel the Jacksonville portion of the RNC, which is going to be the big the fanfare, the speeches,
you know,
and
the convention
portion.
Balloon drops.
They were still going to be having the business portion in Charlotte, which is where it was originally going to be. Yeah. He canceled it, said it's just not the right time to be having this in Jacksonville with people in attendance with the spikes that are happening in Florida. But a few hundred delegates will still be going to Charlotte to do the official nomination. They're not doing a platform committee, so they are just going to adopt the 2016 platform that President Trump ran on and use that for the 2020 party platform. So I thought that was an interesting little nuance unprecedented times.
Yeah, they may need to go and look at some of the language in that.
Yeah, just to check.
Because I don't know. I feel like it has a lot about our current president.
Well, no, it's the platform.
I know.
Yeah.
We need to look at that. You may be adopting some weird language there, but you know what? Whatever. I think they'll get it done. What's important is that there are, including the DNC as well, the nominations will take place. I think people were a little concerned with the conventions, whether that could happen. What? What's going on?
Oh, good? We lost a caller I wanted to get to. Shoot.
Shucks. Yeah. Call us back. We do have a few more minutes to take phone calls. I'm going to tell our phone screeners, get them through fast if they call 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a first call. Let's go to Joe.
Yeah, Joe's calling from Idaho on line 2. Joe.
Idaho Joe, go ahead.
Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning? Thank you for taking my call. It's more of a statement. I can remember, and I'm going to date myself. We grew up in a small country town, and we went into the store one day as a kid, and there was a sign on the door that said, no shoes, no shirt, no service. My mom looked at us and said, you guys got shoes in the car? And we're like, no. And she says, then you're going to have to go wait in the car. I'll be out in a minute. And it wasn't a big issue.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's becoming such a big issue today that now they're going to have to put no shoes, no shirt, no mask.
Yeah. Joe, I get that, and I think that you're right. We kind of all accept that as just the normal truth at this point, which is you just do it. And you know, the president even came out and said, you know, wearing a mask, he wasn't opposed to it if you couldn't social distance. I hate the term social distance, but I have to say it because you know what it means, but I do hate it. I think it's a horrible term. But Joe, for you saying that, I think you're right. Now, I think there is a bit of a difference where people have aversion to masks because it's obviously it's on your face. And I think there's much more discomfort than you wearing a shirt or wearing shoes. I also think at the time, they would think that was also another sanitary thing. Now, have I been into plenty of Walmarts with people with no shoes on, no shirts on? You bet. Mainly between the hours of 11 p.m. and 4 a.m. But that's not to say that that's right. And I think you're right. If a business decides they want to do that in perpetuity, I don't like it. Look, no one likes maybe some people. You know, maybe some people like wearing the masks. I don't know.
Could be.
Sometimes I like the gaiter. I like the neck gaiter. I like how it feels good.
Well, I have like a special.
Mine has a big American.
Mine
flag.
Has a filter in it, but it looks like a bandana, so it's similar as like style as the neck gaiter. And I feel like an old West train robber or
no
something.
No one messes with you.
No, they're like, eh, okay.
Look, I'm a collector of toys and action figures. I'm gonna be honest and say this right now here on the Conservative Talk Airways. I am. But when I stroll into a Walmart or a Target with an American flag bandana over my face and my wraparound Oakleys, nobody messes with me. And they certainly don't think I'm going to collectibles and toys.
That's right.
But let's go ahead.
Yeah, actually, the caller called back in. Let's go to Elaine from Tennessee on line one. Elaine, welcome to the broadcast.
God bless Tennessee. Elaine, welcome.
Thank you. Yes, I was just, you asked a question about Margaret Sanger's being removed from Planned Parenthood's name.
That's right, New York, yep.
And you said we thought it was a small win, but I disagree, no, because my opinion is that they just want to erase that part of their history and continue being what they're being.
Absolutely, Elaine.
Yeah, we can't let them get away with that.
I can't agree with you more. It's only a win that they're in some way. You're right, they are erasing it. But by having to put out a press release, they are also acknowledging their own racist past. So I agree with you, Elaine, that we can't just give them a pass. We can't give them a thumbs up for this one. You know, for honestly, it's been a talking point for us so long that they have just continued to give out these awards and so on and so on, that it's been just absolutely ridiculous. Again, I don't give them a pass for what they do inside that building. I think it's horrendous. But you do have to look at it and go, well, that's an interesting point of view. We know we did lose our next caller, Will.
But to her point, when you have a statement that says the removal of Margaret Sanger's name from our building is both a necessary and overdue step to reckon with our legacy and acknowledge Planned Parenthood's contributions to historical reproductive harm within communities of color, I feel like you can then say, right, we've been saying this all along, and you're still doing that.
Yeah, this isn't an organization.
And you can move forward and try to, I feel like more people are going to understand the context that we've been talking about for decades.
Organizationally, you can make changes to what you do and what your positions are. As time moves on and new people take over, times change. Look, work at the ACLJ, go look at what we were doing 20 and 30 years ago. Positions change. Time changes, as well as growth in changing the organization. Originally, the ACLJ was all about Bible school cases and book clubs and see you at the poll. Well, you know what? Then a lot changed post 9/11 and the whole world pivoted. Then about 10 years ago in the Obama era, it changed again. Organizations change. It happens. I believe you should be able to do that. As humans, we all change. We all evolve. We all continue to grow. But the difference with this one is, what's going on inside the building is exactly the same.
Yeah, they are changing. Right. They're doing the same thing. The disproportionate targeting of minority communities by Planned Parenthood is still actively their mission. That's where they're placing the clinics, are within minority communities. They are reaching out to communities that are, in Margaret Sanger's words, she was using language that you could not even fathom about the communities, the immigrant communities, the people that had special needs or disabilities. She was targeting those communities.
They're trying to remove the idea of special needs existing.
Right.
That those humans were not
worth. They wanted to root them out.
It's all there. It's all black and white, and it's all real. Okay, that's the main thing. This isn't some conspiracy theory talk. All of that's real. You can go find it. Go do your own Googling. Do your own research. You'll see what we're saying is indisputable, really, that is the backbone in the history of that organization. Again, people can change their point of view and they can change what they do. Look, the version of the ACLJ that my brother and I run is going to be different than the version of the ACLJ that my dad created. It's just how time moves on. But again, it doesn't. If you're still doing the same stuff inside the same building, it's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. It's not going to make any big difference. But you know what? Small win, small win. They acknowledge the fact that they're racist. That's good. All right. You know what? We're wrapping up the show here. I want you to support the work of the ACLJ. Visit ACLJ.org right now when this show is over. Do that. Look around. See what we're doing there. Also, find the Logan Sekulow Reprogram on all of your favorite social media platforms. Follow me on Instagram at Logan Sekulow, YouTube.com/Logan Sekulow Reprogram. Subscribe, hit that bell. We do a show each and every day. Find me on Facebook, Facebook group. Until next time, if you see a storm brewing in your life, don't worry, it'll pass.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.